Well, we're getting to that part of the church year where we think about the end of what is and the beginning of something new. In the book of Daniel, the passage we read contains phrases like, at that time, and there shall be a time of anguish, but at that time your people shall be delivered. The Lord goes on to tell Daniel that there will be a resurrection of the dead. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The gospel tells us about Jesus teaching his disciples that one day soon the grand temple, that great building, the place that devout Jews believed contained the actual presence of God, would be thrown down, not just damaged or even demolished, but entirely leveled, which it was. Only a few decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus talked about the time to come when there would be false messiahs leading people astray. And there would be wars, nation rising up against nation, earthquakes and famines. And then he says, this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. What a strange thing to say after predicting such calamities, to compare the end of days to labor pain. Now, there are a lot of people who think that things are bad and getting worse in our time. I have friends who are convinced that Connecticut is circling the drain. Not a week seems to go by in our nation anymore, in the world, when there isn't a mass shooting or a terrorist attack or a hurricane or some new threat from somewhere. Abroad or at home. There's about 400 square miles in California right now that have burned in these continuing wildfires out there. Over 50 people killed, hundreds missing, thousands displaced. The town, ironically named Paradise, nearly entirely consumed in this hellscape. It's easy for some to believe that, yes, we're on the threshold of the last days. And I don't really know what to believe about that. But I do believe this. There will be a last day, a judgment day, and there will be something afterwards. Is it this week? This month? The next year? The year after? Or 1,000 years from now? Again, I don't know in the big picture when it will happen. Scripture says no one knows. But that doesn't keep people from speculating. Preachers have been forecasting the end down to the very day, in some cases, for almost as long as there has been a church. But what does Jesus say? Yes, it's coming. Yes, it will be frightening, as if the world has ever not been frightening for very long. But Jesus also says this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. And many of us in this church know that labor can be agony, but the vast majority of time, a family ends up with a baby. And there's nothing quite like a healthy baby to signify new hope, a new time of life. That's what this is supposed to say to us. Yes, there will be frightening, painful times now and in the future, as there have always been. But out of them comes something new, hopeful, healthy, and unspoiled, the kingdom of God. Life on earth as it is in heaven. People have been praying for that day for 2,000 years. Not the last day, but the day after. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The day that the earth at last becomes what it is that God intended for it to be. Paradise. And there's nothing we can do to hasten that day. Nor is there anything we can do to delay it. It will come when it will come. Did you notice, sandwiched into the middle of our readings, the passage from the letter to the Hebrews? Two sentences, a how-to for life in between now and the day after the last day. Let us hold fast, it says, to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Isn't that beautiful? Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. A few years ago, people concerned about LGBTQ kids started a campaign called It Gets Better. In other words, that the suffering and cruelty, the bullying and insecurity, all the things that those young people were undergoing would one day, with time and maturity, grow easier. Because those kids were at risk of suicide, among other things. And so older people, chiefly from the LGBTQ community, wanted to reassure them that however bad it was going to get better. And that is a godly message and a godly thing to do. It is the message, essentially, of that sentence. Hold fast to what we believe. Hold fast to our conviction that there will be a last day, and then a day after that, because God doesn't lie and God always comes through. However bad it is now, however difficult it is for us as individuals, families, a church, a nation, all of humanity, it is going to get better. That's the promise of the gospel. But the trouble is making it from now until then, isn't it? How do we navigate that gulf between now and then? Here's something that you might not have thought of. You don't have to worry about that whole span of time and all that will happen all over the world between now and then. You and I have only to worry about one person in one moment. You and you and me. And all of us, each of us. This is not to suggest that we be selfish, only out for ourselves, nothing of the kind. Instead, what I'm saying to you, and what I believe Scripture says, is this. We can't fix the world. We can't even fix the people closest to us. But what we can do is to be the best possible version of ourselves that we can be. The second sentence of the how-to guide for living between now and then is this: and let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Would you like to know how to be the you whom God intended? Well, there it is in plain English. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. How? By being loving, generous, honest, courageous, and steadfast in our commitment to do good. Not in order to fix others, but because that is who you are and who I am. And that provokes others. Some people it provokes into reciprocity or paying it forward. Some people it provokes into faith. And others who are more cynical, it will provoke into anger or frustration or maybe even deeper cynicism. That's not our problem. Continue to be who God created you to be. We have a sign on the wall of our house that says, "You were created to make a difference." But the way we make a difference is by choosing to be who God created us to be. And we do that by provoking one another to love and good deeds. But we don't do it alone. We're told that not to neglect meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Because whether the day is the end of our own lives or judgment day, it amounts to the same thing. We will stand one day before the Lord. And for myself, what I'd like the Lord to see before him on that day is a man who, in spite of a myriad of faults and mistakes, has tried to be loving and generous and merciful, forgiving others as he has been forgiven. Whatever else is going on in the world, I want my life within it to be decent and gentle, the sort of thing I won't be entirely ashamed to present to God when my name is called on that day. Because I want to be there for all the days after that one, too. And I think you do, too. That's why we meet together. That's why we have church. Religion is not just a personal experience that we do sometimes. We're part of one another's lives, and we're here to provoke and be provoked into love and good deeds. Sometimes we provoke one another into exasperation and irritation. If I find some Sundays that I feel that way, I have to let it go. If I find some Sundays that I'm the one being irritable and exasperating, I try to go back to who I know I'm supposed to be. But however it's going on Sunday or the rest of the week, I try to think about who God is calling me to be and then act like that guy. Because thank God life doesn't just go on forever with the world getting worse and me getting more upset about it. It gets better. It gets better in this life if I let God reshape me, and it gets better in the age to come, the day after the last day, if I hold fast to the confession of our hope. That's my message to you. It gets better. Even if it's good right now, but especially if it's not, hold on. Be you. The you that God created. The you who is God's beloved child. Rather than the one that the world has twisted out of shape. Whatever is going on around us, whoever is president, whatever wrongs we witness, whatever evils or calamities we undergo, be you, child of God, and hold fast to your hope, because Jesus Christ keeps his promises. Amen.